Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Crossroads, and I'm glad that you are with us. And just about 24 hours ago, the church received power back on, and one of the decisions that we made to have service in the midst of all of the volunteer efforts that are going on is that we wanted to give folks an opportunity to pause, whether it be in our own congregation or from the community, an opportunity to pause from all of the labor work and an opportunity to come and to pray. An opportunity to come and to seek God, an opportunity to find peace in the midst of what has been a catastrophe that has been brought upon our island. As we know, back on Monday, the unthinkable happened. A storm of epic proportions touched down along the coast of Staten Island, New Jersey, and other areas of the tri-state area. But perhaps there's no area that was hit the hardest in terms of people devastation than Staten Island. You know, reports have already been put out. There was 12 casualties or 15 casualties. NYPD, off the record, is saying there's at least 100 bodies that are in the morgue right now as a result of this. And they're finding people every day. Just the other day, we were over on Olympia Boulevard, and they pulled a young boy out over there. Two teenage boys in a garage, a father and son found holding each other together in a basement. And, you know, when you hear these stories, you realize that we need God more than ever before, because much of life, especially these circumstances, are out of our control. And so I'm glad that if you were able to get here, that you were able to come to church. You know, life will never be the same, even within the church right now. When you think about how this has even touched right home in our own congregation, and we're blessed. We have a lot of people that come to our church over the course of a month and each Sunday, and the church is very blessed with people and volunteers. But just look around. Some of these empty seats today are people who are in perhaps shelters right now or who have, or in another borough. I just spoke with a family, and they're in Queens because their house was washed up. We have widows who have had nothing to begin with that are staying and going to different places and trying to get on with their life somehow or another. Even in our own worship team, we have people who are affected, who are not here. Some who were able to come will be the case at both services. And then even in our church, the people who are working, people who are in the Coast Guard pulling 12-hour shifts, people, we have a lot of sanitation in our church. None of them are here today because they're working 12-hour shifts. And the reaching effect of this is very personal for us, and we must treat it that way. And you know, sometimes we think that we have it bad because maybe we lost our cover to our garbage pail in the storm, or because we didn't have power and we couldn't watch television or text or Facebook or something like that. And then all you have to do is just drive a mile down the road and go down and see where people's houses were. And in the midst of all of this, our church has responded and will continue to respond. As soon as this event took place, we knew that this was more than just a nor'easter. This was more than just a quick rainstorm that was passing through. That this was a superstorm. And we awoke on Tuesday morning to that reality. If you live on the higher parts of Staten Island, it was definitely a wind event that took trees down and incapacitated power lines. Some still don't have power. Some just receive power. If it was down closer to the beach area, it was more of a water catastrophe with the waves coming at 15 to 20 feet high and coming and surging into people's homes, destroying people's cars and their lives. And, you know, I know this much, being a father and a husband, that it's just tough enough as it is financially to make it in this economy. You know, I picked up another little side job. I was trying to work to make ends meet for my family, and I'm sure I know a lot of you do the same as we talk. And that's just the America we live in today, the course that our economy is on right now. So everybody's trying to scrape it together to make it. And this that took place has just hurt people who are already in a hurting position. And we must see that this isn't just an event. You know, all you got to do is just watch the mayor. And what I'm about to say, I'm in no way being derogatory because I, you know, I pray for the mayor and I want to see him follow the Lord. But I think the mayor and certain people, they think this was a blizzard. And you know, when there's a blizzard, maybe there's 15 inches of snow, and sometimes they close school, sometimes they don't. They want kids to get to school sometimes in a foot and a half of snow, and the teachers somehow to make it and find parking spaces, but they think it's a blizzard. The mayor throws a blizzard. He's about to have a marathon yards away from where they're pulling bodies out, okay? And you have this mentality that this was a blizzard, and let's clean it up, and Wall Street's up, and we got buses going again. No, there is a lot of work to be done. And so today, we're not here so much to glorify that, but we're here to find hope in God. We're here to be sensitive to the loss of life, the monumental loss of life, the fathers dying and mothers and children, babies being swept away in this surge. And I think it's a time for us to respond with a heart of compassion. And it's also a time to take inventory in our own heart and to count our blessings and to once again remember that God has us here not just for our own personal comfort, but to advance the cause of his kingdom. You know, over these last couple of weeks, what have we been talking about at church? We've been talking about serving, actually. We've been talking about the different laws of serving. And today I want to share with you a special message. And if you have your outline, you could pull it out. And the title of this message is The Law of Relief. We've been looking at the different laws of service. And today we're going to discuss the law of relief. And this is what the law of relief is. Let me read it aloud to you. The law of relief is servants labor to relieve needs. And you know, you and I have been placed on this earth. We've been privileged, blessed to be able to hear the gospel, to process it in our hearts, to respond to Christ, to follow him. More so perhaps in America than even other parts of the world. We are extremely blessed to know Christ. And one of the outflows of that is that we need to be people who constantly think, not just in a disaster, even when we're on top of the mountain and things are going well, we must be people who constantly think about how could we relieve? How can we bring relief to those who need it? And servants who follow Christ, because that's how Christ thought. Christ relieved the needs of people, whether they were physical needs, emotional needs, mental needs, relational needs, and most importantly, spiritual needs. And God has called his people to relieve the needs of even those empty seats that are here today, because again, we have 25, and that number is growing by the day, we have 25 families that have been directly affected by this. 18 of them are displaced from their homes. Thankfully, we haven't had any casualties. We haven't had any loss of life. Other churches have. Other friends have. But there are people in our church who have lost loved ones in this storm, and friends, and some of you. And so God has called us to think relief. And this law of relief, again, just as if we have laws that govern gravity, the law of gravity, the law of aerodynamics, a law that must govern serving. It's how we must think. It's how serving works according to Jesus. Is that servants look and servants think, servants live, servants labor to relieve the needs of people that are going through. And so I want to share a passage with you. This is one of those passages in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 that every once in a while, Jesus would just, it's almost as if he would stick a pole in the ground and it would be like a mile marker. And that's what he was doing here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. His ministry is in full bloom at this point. He's teaching, he's proclaiming, and thankfully he's healing. And he wants to kind of just sum it up, and at that point he wants to give an invitation to his followers to say, okay, you see what I'm doing. You see that I'm going to relieve needs. You see that I'm going from village to city. I'm looking under every rock. I'm going around every corner. I'm not stopping. And I want you to do the same. And so this is one of those passages where Jesus is, in essence, giving an indirect invitation to his followers to say, you need to do what I'm doing. And what is Jesus doing? The master servant. He's relieving needs. If you look at the context of this passage, we see Jesus teaching. We see him then a series of healings, bringing healings to people who are ill, a young girl who is dead, men who are blind. And it's illustrating the divine power of God, yes, but even more so, it's illustrating the fact that Jesus was a man on a mission. And his mission was to relieve needs. And if we're going to be servants of God, and this imagine that. We're talking about serving for these last couple of weeks, right through the end of this month. And now what is before us is a monumental task that requires serving. And so allow me to read the first few verses here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. This is what we're told. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction." Interesting. "And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed." And Matthew tells us here in his gospel, they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And as we approach this message today, I want us to look at this from two perspectives. I realize that most of the people who've been affected in our church are not here for obvious reasons. But I want us to look at today's message from two perspectives. Today, if you're stable, if you're alive, and you haven't experienced loss from this, consider yourself stable right now in this storm aftermath. You are stable. Thank God you are stable. Count your blessings that you are. Open your refrigerator and thank God for that. Hug your children, your parents. If there are grievances in your family, you know what? Maybe you need to look at that and say, is this worth it? Look how temporary life could be. Life could be over just like that. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to waste even an hour, even 10 minutes, even a minute on being angry at somebody when we see how life could just be snuffed out like that? The Bible says life is but a vapor. It's like a fast runner. It's here and it's gone. And that's true if you live a full life, especially in these circumstances. So look at it from a place of being stable today. If I'm stable, if I have some money in the wallet, if I have some food, if I have lights, I have a home, I haven't been wrecked by this thing, you're stable. Yeah, maybe you lost a few shingles. Maybe you lost your favorite garbage pail that you got on sale from Sears or something. Who cares? You're stable. I want you to look at this message from that perspective. And then today, if you've been ravaged by this storm and you've made it here, and I see a few of you here, look at it from a position of, from the suffering position. And today, you're in a position of suffering. And, you know, I know there's a lot of spiritual prognosticators, just like in politics, right? Everybody wants to give a spiritual reason for the storm. God did it. He was angry. God put his finger on the ocean, somebody said. You know, and it takes a lot of me for my Italian temper not to hit somebody upside the head with that. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't love somebody over here because they didn't get hit and somebody over there. You know, don't get into trying to understand that. That's not in our, we're not in the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. However things unfold and they happen, don't try to waste time trying to give spiritual reasons for it. That's a waste of time. Rather, use your energy to relieve needs. Use your energy to be the hands of Christ and the feet of Christ. That's what we need to do. That's the law of relief. And so look at it from the stable position, but also look at it from a suffering position. If I've been affected by this and I've lost everything, just as you see these seats that are usually filled with people down here and up in the balcony, people have been affected in our church, in the community, from the suffering point of view. And so, first things first, let's just understand the context of this, shall we? It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages." Now, in those days, cities and villages were distinguished by one important area. Cities had walls up around them. They were fortified with walls for protection, obviously. And then villages, they didn't have any walls. Nevertheless, Jesus was going into all these different pockets of places where people were. And this is what the Bible says. He went throughout all the cities and villages, whether they had walls or not, whether it was easy to get to or not, and he was doing this. It says he was teaching in their synagogues. Now, we know what a synagogue is today, but synagogues actually established in 586 B.C. approximately when the God's people, the Jewish people, were in Babylonian captivity. And they established these synagogues, which the rule was if there was at least 10 Jewish men within a mile from the center spot of where they were going to place the synagogue, you could have a synagogue there. And the synagogue became a community center for the Jews. They would have court there. Okay, imagine that. They would obviously have worship there. And they would have Jewish instruction of the Torah there as well. And so it was a multi-purpose facility and a place, but it was a place where people knew to come for what we would call religious instruction. And so naturally, Jesus would go there because he would go there to teach. And the Bible says Jesus went teaching in their synagogues. And normally, what would Jesus teach when he would go? Was he teaching the horoscope? No, he wasn't teaching that. Was he talking about politics? No, he wasn't talking about that. He was teaching the Old Testament, no doubt out of the book of Isaiah, out of the words of Moses, no doubt. And so he would go teaching in the synagogues. And what an amazing event that must have been for the great rabbi Jesus to come in there and give these truths. After all, he is God, and he's the one speaking the word that he inspired to be written. What a treat that must have been to sit there. And so it says he went throughout all the cities. He didn't even leave one out. He went no matter if it had a wall or not, no excuses. He went, and he went into these synagogues teaching. And then it says, and proclaiming the gospel. The word proclaim in the Greek language means caruso. Sounds like an Italian sauce, right, that somebody could buy. Bottle up and sell over at ShopRite, right? It sounds nice right about now, okay? A little Caruso sauce. And proclaiming is different from teaching. Teaching, he was teaching the Old Testament. Proclaiming, he was proclaiming the truths of the cross, of the empty tomb, of the new covenant, which he would declare in his own blood when he would go to the cross. And so that's what he was doing in those synagogues. And it says that he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, which is the New Testament teaching. And it says he was healing every disease and every affliction. And, you know, I know sometimes when you talk about healing in church, people get the heebie-jeebies because of the garbage we see on TV of people flinging people around and knocking people upside the head. And nobody ever heals anybody of blindness, though, on TV, I guess because you can't fake that trick, okay? Now, if you study the Gospels and go home and do it, the largest amount of healings that is done is actually blindness in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that, because you can't fake that one. And this was a sign of God's power, but his deep compassion. And we see that now here in the next verse. It says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, because the crowds were coming, when there is a need, when people are going through stuff, you just see mobs of people who have needs. Jesus was seeing that. We've seen that going down to the areas since the beginning here. Mobs of people. Walking the streets now with no home and going to shelters and still looking for, I don't know where my husband is. And these are the types of questions that are out there. People have needs. Jesus was ministering to needs. It says when he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them. Now that word compassion speaks of an inner working of the heart. In other words, Jesus' heart was gripped. His bowels were moved, the emotions, the hair on his arm stood up. Those holy hairs on his arm stood up when he saw that. His heart was moved. And maybe you've been moved. You know, we're not to go down there and treat it. It's not a museum. It's not an event. We're not on a park walk. We don't go around photographing everything. I mean, you just got to go look there, and you might start crying when you hear stories. Some of our people I see here today, you were rescuing people on Monday night in your cars with boats and whatnot. I mean, these are areas of our life that just redefine who we are. And that's what was happening for the Lord here. His compassion was overwhelming in his heart. And it says he had compassion for them, he says, because they were harassed. And that word harassed is interesting in the Greek language. It's skullo. And it actually means to be troubled and beaten down. And I think that describes how a lot of people feel right now. They've been beaten down by this thing. And they're troubled over what's next. When's FEMA going to give the money? And when's this going to happen? And who's this? And where's that? And you have other people looking in, running to grab the glory. And here I am, and I'm with this, and I'm with this. I have this office, and I'm from this party, and I'm this woman, and I'm that guy. And you know, some people, all they want to do is they want to further their career through this storm. Meanwhile, people have real legitimate burdens. They've been troubled. They've been beaten down. It says they were harassed. And sometimes you go through things in your life, and by what you're going through, you feel harassed by it. And then the next word says they were helpless. And even though people are digging out and people are working hard, and people working very hard, by the way, these homeowners or renters, they are. I can't even believe how fast people are moving. Now, volunteerism's great. And this has been a surge of volunteers here. This church has received thousands of volunteers since Tuesday that have come through. I mean, I heard it was about 100 people out earlier today. I was going to tell them, hey, why don't you come to church and help us out with that way, okay? But, you know, people are looking to help. That's a great thing. But there are helpless people out there. That word in the original language is reptudo, and it means to be thrown down, to be pinned down. And that's a bad place to be when you feel that there's no way out and you're pinned down, you're held down by something. And I think that accurately describes how a lot of folks are feeling. No matter how much debris they can remove, no matter how fast this could come or that can come, there's a sense of helplessness. And when there's helplessness, guess what sets in after that? Hopelessness. And we have to understand that this is the island now that we minister in. As we understand this further, Jesus had compassion not only for their needs, which there were many apparently physically, but he's also concerned for them spiritually. And there is a spiritual climate on Staten Island that's like no other place, I think, on the eastern seaboard. Staten Island is a very hard place to even do this, to have church. I mean, you could ask somebody to go to a strip club with you, and they'll think that's cool. Ask somebody to go to church, they might go to blows with you. They might think you're a freak if you ask them to go to church. But hey, let's go to a strip club. But church, I told you I had an experience like that one time. I hit it off with this guy. We were talking about cars and some other things. And I said, hey, you want to get something to eat sometime? Yeah, that'd be great. And I said, hey, I don't know what you're doing Sunday. It's Easter. You want to come to church? You would have thought I insulted his mother. That's the spiritual climate that we live in here. Hey, what church you go to? Well, I don't know the name of it, but I went a couple Christmases ago. And, you know, there's this laissez-faire attitude with spirituality. And some people have legitimate reasons. I understand that. And in Jesus' day, people were harassed and they were helpless because of the religious teaching. That was a big cause because they were misleading people with all their trumped-up religious commands that they tried to attach to the Old Testament. They were confusing people more than helping them. Instead of lifting burdens, they were adding burdens. And so Jesus is saying this here, that people were harassed, people were helpless, the Lord had compassion. And I think two principles emerge here. First, for the stable, write this principle down. If you are stable today, based on what the Lord is describing to us, based on what he's seeing with his own eyes, this is how we're to act at all times. We are to relieve needs by lifting burdens from others. That's our job. We're to relieve needs by lifting burdens, by lifting the things that are holding people down, by ministering to felt needs, understanding the climate of what's going on around us, and then looking to meet those needs. Now, I have to say, our community, not even our just our community, people outside the state of New York have been coming here since Tuesday and dropping off hundreds of supplies. There's somebody who came from Pennsylvania yesterday with gas so that we could take our water pump so we can help folks with. And he said, I saw you on the news and I came. You know, there are people who are coming into here and they're writing checks and they're saying, well, we don't want to give it to the Red Cross because, you know, we don't want 50% of it to go to pay for some office job or car. We want 100% of that money to go towards the people. I just talked to somebody in Virginia, a very wealthy businessman, and I just met him through my cousin, and we were talking on the phone, and he pledged it. He said, I'm gonna send money to the church, and I'm gonna get my other partners to do it, and I'm gonna tell my church. And people are doing that all over. And I think that that is a testament to the fact that the Bible says that God has planted eternity in the hearts of mankind. I want to tell you this. You may not realize this. You might have been dubbed as a grumpy person, and maybe you are sometimes if you don't have your coffee, okay? I mean, you might be rude, and you may not have a lot of friends, and you might have the face to prove it or something. I don't know. But guess what? I don't care what you look like. I don't care where you're from. I don't care where you've been. God has placed it in your heart to be a part of his team to relieve needs of other people. And that is what our country's about. You know, a lot of people give a lot of I hate America talk, okay? You know what? If you don't like it, go live somewhere else. This is a great country because when pushed to the limits, the resolve of our people is amazing, not because of us. Because if it was up to us, we'll cry that we lost our garbage can. It's because God has planted in the hearts of mankind a seed of compassion. A seed to care about others. And sometimes God will even use that very seed that has brought you here to volunteer to bring you to his cross. He will use that. He's done it many times. And maybe he's doing it right now in your own life. Maybe you already know the Lord, but you've kind of sailed off a little bit in your own little world. And you realize that, you know what, there's more to my little world. There's a lot that I need to be doing. And I need to come back to the cross. And Jesus is making that statement here. And so we relieve the needs by lifting burdens from others. But what if you're suffering today? Here's an encouragement for you today. I don't care how tough we might think we are, or how strong we might be, or how much stuff we get. This is a very important thing to do, because if you don't do this, you're going to collapse. If you don't do this, it's going to have long-reaching effects in your own life. And so write this down. Relieve needs for the suffering by lifting burdens, by lifting them to God. And this is an appropriate time. Listen, God always welcomes us into his presence. The Bible says God comes to receive the praises of his people, actually. God is all about you and I meeting with him. In fact, this understanding of this word synagogue that we read earlier, the actual word synagogue means place of assembly. And they would set up a pole in the synagogues. The roofs would be open so that people could look up and pray. Now, if you come to this church and you look up and pray, you might get a headache with our ceiling, okay, of how it's painted, okay? Now, we didn't paint it that way. If you're a guest here, the building is landmarked, and we have to roll with it. But in the synagogues, they would have the roofs open so you could look up and pray as you did, okay? And they would stick a big pole somewhere there, almost like a church steeple, like a cross. And how people would know if they were disoriented, lost because they were beaten down by events of life, or if they were a stranger in a new town, they would look for that long pole, and that would be a symbol of where to go. And my friends, whether you are the stable or whether you are the suffering today, the cross and the church is that symbol for you. God is saying you need to come. You need to relieve yourself of your burdens. You need to give them to God. And I think you give them to God by praying, absolutely. You need to give them to God. You need to get on your knees. I know there was a great movie that came out a couple of years ago. Every now and then it's one of those movies to watch when you're feeling down. Facing the Giants. It's some football in it. Not just about football. But there's this coach in that movie, and I mean, he just can't get things right in his job. He's trying to have a kid with his wife, and they're not conceiving, and all these different problems he's having. And, you know, he's kind of getting angry at God and getting angry at life, and he has all these pressures, kind of this helpless feeling, setting into hopelessness. And then finally, he gets a visit from a friend, and this friend's been praying for him, kind of talks to him a little bit. And then this man goes from walking around just feeling desperate and hopeless and even complaining in certain parts, and he gets on his knees. And he seeks the God of heaven. You know, regardless of what has happened, regardless of the horrific pictures, God is still on his throne. And don't ask me to explain, because I don't have the answers. I don't know why these things happen. Why is it an answerable question? Let's not spend time trying to philosophize and trying to think we have a corner on the truth, because we don't. Storms and events that on cataclysmic proportions have happened throughout the history of mankind. And they'll continue to happen. I'm not going to say, oh, God's getting our... And I'm not going to get into that. That's not what God wants us to do. God would rather us, if we need to, if we're suffering today, God says, come to me. That's what he says. Come to me, all who are heavy laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. That's a promise from God. And today, you need that rest. Listen, God bless FEMA and Red Cross and everybody else. You need God. You need God. You need God's help. Forget, you know, thank God politicians want to come down and tour and everybody. But forget about all that. You need God. You need to seek God. Because at the end of the day, the Bible is never more true today than I think that it, you know, in my life, I just feel that. You know, there are verses that they've always been true, but now they become, it seems like they, I don't even know how it's possible, but I guess because the Bible's living and active, it seems even more true, if that's even possible. When God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even though a home has been taken and possessions have been taken, God is still here with us. He's still the God of the storm. He's still the God that commands the winds. And he's still the God who says, come to me, no matter where you've been. And if we're stable, God is saying, I've blessed you to be a blessing. Put your attitude aside. Put your ego aside. It's not about us. It's about God. And it's about helping other people. And Jesus was given this call here. And so let's look at these last couple verses before we close today. In Matthew 9, 37 now through 38, Jesus then says this. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples. And so Matthew's narrating first what was going on in those first few verses, 35 to 36. And now he's going to capture a quote of Jesus, something Jesus is going to say directly to his followers. And it's something I guarantee you've heard this one way or another before. Whether it was the exact verbatim of the scripture or terminology like this, it says this. This is what Jesus said. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And so Jesus is saying is that there is great needs around us. Now, this harvest means a number of things, I think. I think it's multifaceted, like a diamond in many ways. It's speaking of the harvest of judgment that's coming if people don't know Christ. That, you know, there's a lot of people who need the Lord. The harvest is plentiful, God, Jesus is saying. There's a lot of people on the wrong side of the cross. And for whatever reason, however it's shaken out, the Lord is saying that harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of, and that's still true today. That's true in our families. That's true in our communities. You could just go down the block, down New Door Beach, and just see people who are broken. You know, on Tuesday, there was one man that I was talking with, and he was just broken. Another woman crying broken and said, I feel hopeless. I feel like giving up. And you have stories of people you've talked to as well. The harvest is plentiful. But now it says, but the laborers are few. And it's great. I mean, there are hundreds of people volunteering, okay? I mean, there was the first 2 days, really the first 3 days, there wasn't hardly anybody doing food but Crossroads down there. And I'm very thankful to the people of our church. I'm thankful to the partners of our church. I'm thankful for the community, bakeries, restaurants, just coming here and helping supply the meals. And we were down there from literally day one helping folks. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad that we were able to establish that. And now there's plenty of feeding efforts because it takes time for folks to get here, especially with all the gas crisis and all this other jazz that's going on. And so, you know, it took a little bit extra time for folks to get here, but they're here and they're kind of picking up that important need of feeding folks. And there are laborers here. But guess what's going to happen on Tuesday? We're going to have an election. And that's another thing we need to be thankful for. I mean, no matter where you stand, be thankful that we live in a country that we have democracy. You know, when I saw the president and Governor Romney, when they had that town hall, when they were kind of walking face-to-face with each other, first of all, I'm thinking, I mean, to run for president and to debate on national television like that and to have answers prepared and come back and forth, I just think that takes, talk about an anxiety attack, okay? But then to be face-to-face with the guys and going back and forth, and I was looking at that, I was going, you know, obviously, there are lots of things that I might disagree with a candidate. But I have to say this. I'm very thankful that our country has a democracy where you can have two people with two different ideological views and be able to stand on stage and go face to face. Nobody's going to blow anybody up. I think that's a blessing that we need to hold dear to our heart. We need to remember that when we vote, that we need to be thankful for the country we live in. But we also need to understand that as people go to vote and as the attention goes there, the attention's going to go away from here. And that's what happens with a news cycle. NBC was here all day yesterday. They had their truck out here, the reporters and everything like that. But then there's going to be other news to follow because that's what the news does, and that's great. But we must not stop laboring and caring for those because the harvest is plentiful, the Lord says. It's plentiful, and the laborers are few. And so write this principle down for the stable person today, for those of us who might be stable. Relieve needs by contributing to God's plan. Contributing to God's plan. See, God has saved us to be a participator, not a spectator. God has saved us to get in the game, not watch the game. And this is an example of a time in our lives where we need to be active. And there are two ways that you could contribute right now. Number one, you could go. Go and help. There's volunteers going out. As we now are able to actually connect with our members after not having any phones and everything else and email and internet or whatever else, you know, now we're hearing of our own people that have needs in addition to the community, and we want to send teams there. And so we want to be able to reach out to them. And if you haven't been able to get in the mix yet here, maybe mix other places, I want to encourage you. You could sign up today, and maybe you could put that on your connection card. I'm available. We'll follow up with you. If we have time after service, we might even have a sign-up after service. We need to get crews this week. We have elderly women in our church that need our help. We have single women in our church. They don't have a son-in-law or a son to go dig them out. And so they need the church to come help them. And so you could go and help. And then here's the second way that you can do it. You could give financially. We need to have a financial response to every family in our church that's been hurt. We need to have that. Now, the church has a benevolence budget. No doubt it's going to be exhausted by the end of this week as we assess the needs of, right now, 25 families and counting. Some families have greater needs than others because of children and whatnot. It's going to be important for you and I as a church, and I know none of us are rolling in it here, okay? I understand that. But we can't wait to hit the lotto to become giving people, okay? And I don't know if you've seen the odds. You're probably not going to hit the lotto, okay? Just so you know. A lot of people in church life, they have the when the ship rolls in mentality. When I make it big, when it happens, I'm going to take care of it. We have a list. I'm going to take care of this person. I'm going to take care of that person. And I'm going to take care of this person. And you know what? You don't want to think like that. You want to be like the woman who we're going to teach about in a few weeks when we talk about the law of return. The widow who put her, the Bible says, Jesus said, now, Jesus could have talked about giving anytime he wanted to and use it as an example. You know who is his example? He holds up a widow who gave the equivalent of 4/10 of a penny in our currency. And it says she put her life in, that word's bios in the Greek language, she put her life into the offering. And there are unique times when we got to give. Now, we should give every week to God. That's a part of our worship. You know, if you didn't give faithfully to this church, we wouldn't be here. Think about all of the resources that have come through those doors and went out of those doors to help people in the actual sight of things. We would have never been able to do that if God didn't bring us here. And so I thank God for that and your faithfulness and your contribution. Everybody remembers, who remembers PS52 where we used to meet? That building has just been condemned because they took in so much water. We had a team of 20 going there this morning. We had a team of 20 going there this morning. And the custodian who we're friends with, he sent me a message. Cancel the team. They just came here. They condemned the school. But there's school tomorrow, though. Okay? But PS38's underwater in Midland Beach. PS52's condemned. Teachers don't have clothes and homes anymore. Students are in shelters, but let's have school. And that is why you and I must realize this isn't a hate talk here. This is reality, friends. We need to trust God, and the church needs to be the army of God. We can't wait for even the top elected official of our city to understand this process. God's people have to understand it. The stable have to understand it. And you know what? I think we need to pray not for people who are going to come in office who are going to do things that benefit me. That's a very self-centered view to cast a vote. We need to pray for Josephs and Daniels to rise up to lead our city and to lead our country. Remember Joseph when there was a famine in the Old Testament? God worked through him and he stored up all of that grain. We need leaders like that, who God speaks through, who actually, somehow or another, God is working through them and preparing the folks. My friends, I want to tell you something. God has moved this church here. God prepared us for this storm, and we need to give thanks to him for that. And it's not just for us, so we can be comfortable. It's so that we could be a blessing to the people of Staten Island. And that is what God has called us to do. And we should understand that God has called us to respond that way, to relieve the needs of others by contributing. And so tell your friends to give. People want to keep bringing stuff. I want to say hold off on that right now just yet. Tell people to give, and go right on our website and give. And we're going to make sure that that money goes to hurricane relief. We got to help our families. We got to help people. We got something cooking right now with ShopRite. We're working with them to issue us gift cards that we could put into the hands of people we've been ministering to down in these different areas. And at least they can go to ShopRite as they get transitioned. Because you understand something. People are now in they're trying to be in transition mode. And we got to help them transition. We're going to talk to Home Depot and do the same thing. And we need to come up with creative ways that we can help. And right now, we're in help mode. We're in help mode in terms of removing the garbage and removing the rubbish of what has happened. But people are going to need to transition, and they're going to need money to do that. And don't hold your breath for government agencies to act by expediting things. They're telling folks 7 to 10 days with paper. People need answers immediately. And hopefully, that'll be something that whoever in the powers to be look to improve that of how we respond to a disaster. But today, I encourage you to give as you normally give to the church and give a special offering to the hurricane relief. Give and go. That is the charge that we have. And I'm going to tell you one more thing that I want you to pray about. And listen, I didn't hear any voice with this. I never heard God's voice. I felt God confirm things in my heart. But at 1:30 in the morning yesterday, I didn't write the message yet. And if you know me, I write my message in advance, and I pray over it, and I believe the Holy Spirit, you know, some people wait till the last minute to write a sermon. I don't do that. The Holy Spirit works on Monday and Wednesday as well, okay? And so usually I like to have my outline done and pray over it and fine-tune it and give it to the Lord. Just had no time. We know what we're going to have church. What are we going to do? And so we knew things were going to roll for church. And so last night I looked at this passage, and I knew this was the passage for today. I knew that on Tuesday. And so I've kind of been praying about it through the week, and then I kind of put things down on paper last night. And then when I was done, I thought, you know what? Long after this week is over, long after this month is over, things aren't going to be the same here. It's going to take a while to rebuild. And I'm seeing all the volunteerism. I'm seeing how God is using this church and this building. And I'm realizing that this isn't just going to be a little thing that we're going to do, just hand out a few cans of food. That God is calling us to start a relief center here in this area. And so I know there's a building across the street that's vacant. And I've already, I'm on it, okay? I've already approached the owner. And I told him, listen, we want this. And I, you know, here's what I'm thinking. What are you thinking? And talk to your wife, and let's have some coffee later today in between services. Because we need a relief center. Now, if that's what God wants, that's what he wants. If it's going to be down the line, I don't know. It takes money to do those things. I know it's not all going to come from our congregation. You notice there was a camera guy floating around, my old buddy Paul Wynn, who we partner with at the North American Mission Board. The North American Mission Board is a blessing to this church. It is the largest Protestant denomination in the United States and the world. They have a disaster relief here team working with our church. They were here yesterday. They prayed with us. They said, we're going out in the community. We're telling people, yeah, we might be from different states, from the South. And who can miss those lovely Southern accents that people have, okay? They think we talk funny, okay? But they're here. And you know what they say? We're part of Crossroads Church. We're here to chop your tree down. Here's a meal. And that's what they're doing in the community. That's what they're going to be doing. And we are part of an awesome organization that understands this passage, that it's about sending laborers, it's about giving. And I trust, that's why the video crew's here, they're capturing this on video. I trust that they're gonna put this in the right hands, and God's gonna deliver funds so that we can help people. And if it's God's will, we'll establish a relief center for the next couple of months to help folks transition to where they need to go. And maybe you will serve at it, work at it, volunteer at it. But with all this stuff coming in, all these resources coming in, we need a place to store it. And as big as our church is, we're running out of room already. We can't be functional to provide spiritual needs and physical needs under just one roof. We need more space. And so I want you to pray. In fact, on your way to your car today, when you're going to go get a piece of cake, you get a piece of pizza, pray that God opens up a door for a relief center here. And let's do it together. And so be a contributor. And then finally, this special message, I want to close by saying this for the suffering. Relieve needs by consuming God's provision. Consuming. Now, I want to say that this is not only true for when people have gone through this storm, but this is true in your life in general. when you go through your own storms in your life, don't run away from God, run to God. People have a habit of shutting shop down and letting their circumstances control them. How do I know that? Because I'm a fellow human being. I want to do that. That's how I know that. Give Christ control. Run to Him. When you go through trouble, don't pray less, pray more. When you go through trouble, don't attend church less, attend more. Go to both services that day. You know, don't withhold that. The enemy wants to scatter and divide and to isolate so we could get more hopeless. He doesn't want us to remember that our God parted the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites. He doesn't want us to remember that God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness. He doesn't want us to remember that. He doesn't want us to remember that God delivered Daniel's friends from the fiery furnace. He doesn't want us to remember that God protected Daniel from the lion's den. He definitely doesn't want us to have the attitude of Joseph in the Old Testament, when after all the tragedy he went through in his life, he was able to say at the end, hey, what you may have meant for evil, God meant for good. And the devil certainly doesn't want you knowing the fact that Jesus Christ has power to heal. He has power to heal you physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. In fact, probably one of the reasons why you took a while coming to church was you thought you were too bad. You thought, well, the roof will fall in, everything else, all these other cliches people have. Well, guess what? There's not nobody in this room, or any church for that matter, today worshiping that's perfect. And God welcomes all of us to come. And so, whether you are suffering now, or if you go into a suffering, don't retreat from God. Go to God. And don't have time for everything else but God. You need God in your life. You need to consume the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, sometimes we leak out. Sometimes we go through things and we, you know, the reason why we're struggling so much is we need more of God in our life. So my God, that's all that God talk is. It's not just God talk. God is food for the heart, food for the soul. This isn't just temporary relief. Oh, we got to thank God for what we're going through? No, don't. That'd be idiotic to do something like that. We don't thank God for this storm, but we're going to trust God through this storm. That's going to be the perspective that we have. We're going to trust that God is going to see us through. And the fact that this weather event has caused such devastation, we're going to trust that God is going to provide in amazing ways. And He's calling the church to step to the plate and to do it. And so I want to ask you a question today. Are you with me to help others? Just say amen. Amen. Do you want to be on the team of praying for God to help others? What do you say? Amen. All right, I want to ask you this too. Jesus said this. He said, pray then. He says, therefore earnestly. He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers out. And I'm just going to make this interpretation here. And I mean, I could be wrong. We'll get to heaven and discuss it. Okay, but I think if you're going to pray for others to go, I think that this is implying something, that you're first going yourself. You know, you can't pray for others to go and give if you're not first doing it. You know, for 10 years being at this church, and Jen will tell you, I don't ever ask people to do something that I haven't done. Because I believe, I don't care what position somebody has in the church, we're all servants of God. Nobody's better than anybody. Okay? And we have to understand something here, is that God is calling each of us. If we're going to pray for others to do it, we ourselves have to be willing to do the menial tasks and to do the things that we need to do. And we ourselves need to be generous and to give. So no matter where you are right now on your journey in your life right now, God is calling you and I to be people who not only pray for God to add laborers, God is calling for us to be the laborers. And the reason why it's important that we are laboring after people's physical needs and their spiritual needs is because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God wants us to share the truth that Jesus was talking about of the kingdom, that Christ has died, He rose from the dead, and He sits at God's right hand looking to pardon sin and to forgive and draw people unto Himself. And we need to be people who are doing that. We need to show that in the love that we do. And we need to live that and share that because His promises are true. That's why we need to stay committed and close to God in the storm, stable or suffering. One of the great verses in the book of Isaiah says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever." I've heard two stories. I'm going to have one of the Bibles up here next week of two people in the storm where their Bibles were completely in the path of destruction. But when they found them, when they returned to their homes, were completely dry. One family in our church who's digging out today and will be digging out over the course of the week, they had a Bible on their coffee table. And the water level in their home, they have a bungalow over in Midland Beach, the water level reached all the way practically to the top of the ceiling. They lost both their cars. They lost all their appliances. They just actually pretty much rebuilt this home. Okay? Middle class people. Okay? They had the Bible on the table, the coffee table, when they ran out. And when they came back the next day, they saw the table starting to float up as the water was coming in. And when they came back in to the house, when the water level receded, on the table was still the Bible, and it wasn't wet. And they thought that was remarkable. And when I went and I hugged them the other day, that gave them a lot of hope. It was symbolic of them is that His word is still true. No matter what has happened, His promises are still true. Because when we suffer, we might think God's forgotten me. God doesn't care. God's left me, and God's left me to die. And remember Job, his own wife, and he didn't see her after that. But the only thing that he left her, God, that was left there was his wife to annoy him at that point. And his wife says, "Curse God and die." And that's, I think, what everybody else would want folks to do. But His word is still true, and the promises are still true. And then there was this other man over on Waterside down in New Dorp Beach. And again, waves and homes wrecked, foundations knocked out. And what was sitting on his stoop, his, for those of you who are originally from Brooklyn, his steps in his house, was his Bible, somehow or another, dry and intact, right there on his stoop. And it's symbolic, just like it was at Ground Zero, that out of the beams of destruction, a cross formed, which the atheists were trying like crazy to get it removed. I never met people who tried so hard to remove things supposedly they don't believe in. Okay. But leave the cross where it is. Leave the Bible where it is. Because the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest for Him to add laborers. But before you make that prayer, pray that you yourself, you're saying to God, "Use me. Use me to help the suffering. Use me to minister. Use me to be your hands and your feet. Allow me, God, to be part of that verse when it says, 'You shall supply for all of my needs.' Let me supply for others' needs according to your riches in heaven." If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we were just able to have church today. That there are churches over in the beach areas that have lost everything, God. Their nursery equipment, their chairs, their people are displaced. Some of their people are missing as well. Lord, we thank you, Lord. And Lord, although a lot of our people aren't here today, and we pray for them, Lord God. Lord, we want to help financially. Lord, we want to help practically by getting our hands dirty. We want to stand in the gap here, God. So we pray that you would convict us to be people who step to the plate and labor. Lord, I just pray a special prayer over our island. Lord, in the midst of all this devastation today that we are seeing, Lord, the news of more bodies resurfacing, Lord, long gas lines and people robbing from one another, Lord. We see, God, just total hell breaking loose on this island. Lord, we need you. Lord, we need a visit from you in a major way, God. We need a special releasing of your spirit, God. Lord, we know, God, even New Dorp Lane, Lord, as somebody told me, Lord, an old timer, this is the crossroads of the island. And Lord, you've called us here, God. We pray, God, that you would open doors, God, that we can meet needs through a relief center, God. Lord, we know that there are hurting people, Lord, that not only have suffered a weather storm, but they have a spiritual storm in their heart, God. Lord, we need a special releasing of your power and your spirit, God. A special releasing of generosity from other churches and other people, God, who are stable, who are more than stable, God. Because the harvest is plentiful, God. There are people with great need spiritually here, God. Lord, we intercede, God. Lord, we pray that God, you would establish, Lord God, a prayer beacon here at this church, Lord God. Lord, people need to be prayed over and encouraged. People need to receive clothing and food. People need to receive counsel, medical attention, God. Lord, our friends that are here, God, and perhaps don't have their papers, God, and they're made to feel like outcasts, Lord, regardless if they have citizenship or not, you love them and we must love them, God. Lord, give us a heart to be compassionate. Lord, thank you for sparing each of our lives. And Lord, we grieve with the mothers and the fathers who lost children, God. We grieve for these families, God, who have lost their loved ones. And we just simply ask, God, that we would be a part of the labor, God. Help us to be a part of the labor. And by your Spirit and your grace, Lord, we want to see you rebuild in your time, God, rebuild lives. Lord, we commit our hearts before you today. We thank you for this opportunity to have church, and we pray for this evening service as well and all the volunteer efforts in between the services. We thank you for all our friends from Staten Island, the businesses, Lord, the people. Lord, may that even awaken people to seek you and come to church, to find you, God. Lord, may there be a wind of renewal and revival that blows across this island, God. We sow these prayers before you today. We commit our hearts before you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen.